If a woman is pregnant in the natural, she gets cravings, fish paste and jelly beans. And there's a craving, she gets hungry when you're no longer hungry, because she's pregnant of something. And medically speaking, it's not good for a woman that's pregnant to give birth before her 9-month cycle is over. She has to go through a cycle, and when the cycle is fulfilled, then she can give labor to a child who would be perfectly healthy. Somebody listening to me. But I've seen something about a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman is somebody that she's on her own time. Come on, pregnant ladies, or ladies that have been pregnant. You're just not just available for anybody. You're pregnant. You're not just available for anybody. You're pregnant. There's something that you are carrying that people around you are not carrying. You're more sensitive because everything that you do now, you think about the child. Come on, you don't even socialize no more because you think about the child. And then there's cramps. Cramps are good. Cramps is a sign that you are about to give life to something new. I'm here to declare to you, this is what God said to me. That what you have been pregnant with, you're about to give birth to. And the reason why you feel what you feel and go through what you're going through is because you're pregnant, damn it, and you're not available for anybody. Come on, I say you're pregnant, damn it, and you're not just available for anybody. There's something of value that you carry. But you're about to give birth to what you've been carrying. And I declare to you this morning, if you want to believe us, the Bible says, if they believe a prophet, they will prosper. I believe this, that God has spoken to me, that you are going out of survival land into revival land. Everything that just survived will revive in the name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody in this house listening to me? God is going to take you from a survival mentality to a revival mentality. And I need to say this to somebody. Don't break the cycle before the cycle is over. You can't break the cycle. Listen, you have to understand this to me. The most important thing is the cycle. Because in the cycle is where the child grows. It's in the cycle where the fingers and the toes and everything is getting intact. And when the 9 months is over, labor comes. Is somebody listening to me? Most people break the cycle long before God has ordained the cycle to be destroyed. Never break the cycle until God says, now it's time for you to deliver what you've been carrying. Come, I declare this in the name of Jesus, that God will send you around people, Marys, companies of Marys and Elizabeths. Marys that will make your baby leap, and Elizabeths that will know what you are carrying. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody right now. Yes, Holy Ghost. John chapter 5. I love the Holy Spirit. Don't you just love Him? John chapter 5. Jesus, Scripture says, Jesus is walking, and here's a pool of Bethesda, and He sees a man laying there on a mat, and Jesus said to him, do you want to get whole? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to see breakthrough? Do you want to have deliverance? And he said, Lord, I'm trying. But every single time I want to get into the water, somebody's jumping the gun. Somebody's jumping into the water. I can't get into the water. Just when the angel is stirring, Lord, I'm too weak. But you know what Jesus said? Something. He said to him, take up your mat and go. Now, in the Greek language, it's not a suggestion. In the Greek language, it's a command. Jesus was not speaking to this man's drama. He was speaking to this man's destiny. Jesus didn't speak to the sickness. He didn't entertain what he was. Jesus spoke what was in him. Jesus spoke to him what he was carrying. Take up your mat and go. I'm speaking to your destiny. Is somebody listening? I like this crowd this side. This crowd is alive this morning. When Jesus said to him, take up your mat and go, Jesus didn't negotiate with him. The Greek language doesn't say, well, Jesus suggested, well, rather, brother, just take up your mat and, you know, go. No, Jesus made a command. He says, why are you still sitting here? Are you about to give birth to something new? Are you still holding on to the old? Take up your mat and go your way. And I'm speaking to people's destinies. I'm speaking not to your drama. I'm speaking to what is on the inside of you. I declare in the name of Jesus that weapons will be formed against you, but it will not prosper against you, for there's greatness on the inside of you. I'm speaking to your destiny in you. No man will break down what God is about to build in the name of Jesus. I declare this to you. I speak to your destiny. And listen, I'm not speaking to the drama. I'm not speaking to the bad times. I'm speaking life on the inside of you. You are here for a reason. God has brought you to this house for a reason. There's greatness on the inside of you, and nothing will stop it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm speaking to your destiny. No broke day will keep you away from your dream in the name of Jesus. Whoa! I want you to high five somebody and say, my destiny is a powerful destiny. Come on, declare this with all of your might. My destiny belongs to the Lord. Stand up. Take your mat and go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to shout hallelujah. Stand up. Stand up. I'm checking it. Take your mat and go. It's a command. I command you this morning in the name of Jesus to say goodbye to what holds you back, to what restrains you, to what kept you low in the name of Jesus. It's time to push forward and move forward and say nothing will keep me away from what I have on the inside of me. I want you to lift your hands and shout, I'm destined for greatness. Come on, one more time. You know what I like? What Ezekiel chapter 2 says. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1 says, stand up so that I can speak to you. Acts chapter 2 verse 14. Stand up so I can speak through you. When does God speak? God speaks to us when we start to decide, I'm as bold as a lion. God starts to speak when we say, I refuse to be part of this natural world. I'm not of this kingdom. I'm standing up. And when you stand up, the scripture says twofold. He speaks to you and then he speaks through you. God, we can never hear God when we are on that mat and seeing the situation. You can easily blame everything on those who's passing you by. You can easily blame everything on those who's jumping the gun before you. Or you can get up and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not part of, I don't even need the water if I have the well of life on the inside of me. I don't need the stirring of the water if I have a stirring in my spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm speaking to your destiny. You are coming out. You are coming out. I want to say this prophetically to somebody. Do me a favor quickly. High five your neighbor, the one that you tolerate. And tell them it's payday. It's payday. Come on, say that. It's payday. One more time. It's payday. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 that there was a big giant that spoke to Israel every single day. A bully. I want you to say bully. That's what fear does. You know, two nights ago, I was sleeping. And while I was sleeping, I had a dream. I had a dream I was walking in a dark building. And I knew that in the building, it was a dark building, so I could see movements, I could see, but I couldn't see everything. And I knew in this building was dead people that needed to be resurrected. So I was walking into this building in the dream. And I started proclaiming, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of death. While I'm walking in this big black building, I felt the spirit of fear. I smelt the spirit of death. I knew who I was facing. And the dream was so surreal. So as I walk, I rebuke that spirit of death. I rebuke that intimidating spirit of fear, because that's what fear does. Fear is an intimidator. Fear is a liar. Is somebody listening to me? Fear is a liar. You better know who you're fighting. You're fighting a liar. I said, you are fighting a liar. There's no truth to your enemy. There's no truth to your enemy. Somebody hear me. There's no truth to your enemy. I don't know why I say this. Somebody needs to hear this. There's no truth to your enemy. So in this building, I started commanding life to come back into the bodies. So I'm seeing in my eye, I'm seeing now how the bodies are being resurrected. And I woke up. When I woke up, now I woke up and my whole room is dark. But that same spirit I've battled in the dream was in my room. I knew it. I don't say this lightly. God is my witness. I felt that same spirit of death and fear in my room. Over my bed, I felt it. I knew who I was facing. I knew that the demonic force I was praying against in the dream is now in my room. And fear gripped my heart. My heart started beating. And I smelled that spirit of death. But I've got good news. That we have the power of attorney. I've got good news. That big problems shows big promotion. Big battles is a sign of big conquests. Hallelujah. Somebody come on. Big adversity is a sign of big accomplishments. I rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. I said no giant. Listen, saints of God, a giant has been created to fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I declare this to you in the name of Jesus. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Somebody listening to me. If you're in this house, I want you to give Jesus 30 seconds of crazy praise like you believe it. So the Bible speaks about this Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And the scripture speaks about that this giant was more than 9 feet tall. He was a big guy. And he was challenging and indoctrinating fear into the lives of people. And he said to Israel, I'm going to feed you to the birds in the air. We're going to kill you. You're going to work for us as slaves. And if we have one man, if there's just one man that can fight me. And the whole Israel fought to themselves. We just have one man. One man strong enough to defeat this giant. And here comes David. We all know the story. David wanted to know, what does the man receive that can kill this big thing? And when he heard what he's going to get, he knew, this is why I have been born. You know, I don't want this to be sound like a cliche, but it must be a giant so that David can rise up in you. A giant is always what brings forth David on the inside of you. You'll never know that there's a David in you if there's no a Goliath against you. I'm going to say this again. You'll never know the David in you until you experience the giant against you. Hallelujah. And Goliath was big. He was intimidating. He was gigantic. This big guy. Yet, Goliath made David famous. I'm getting somewhere this morning. I want you to shout, he's getting somewhere. Giants comes to kill the vision, to kill the dream, to block it, to block you from seeing what's behind the giant. The only thing that giant does is he indoctrinates, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. But giants has been created to fall. And this, when this giant came up against David, eventually he made David famous. News spread that this small tiny guy has killed a Goliath. Amen. And eventually he's crowned king. King of whole nation. I'm here to declare this to somebody in this house this morning. That what God has planted on the inside of you. No giant is about to kill you or take it away from you. There's greatness on the inside of you. There's a vision that God has planted in you. And you maybe, I say this, I see this as clear as day. Maybe you have not seen it come into fulfillment as yet. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's dormant. It's there. I'm just here to tell you that you're about to give birth to the greatest vision, the greatest dream that God has planted on the inside of you. But you need to hear the word of God. It's time to stand up so that God can speak in you, through you, and to you. And when you allow God to do that, you'll understand that every giant that comes against me, I'm bold as a lion. It's not to kill me. I'm not speaking to your drama right now. I speak to your destiny. You are coming out, whatever wants to kill you, in Jesus' name. And as a bonus, I declare that you will eat honey out of what was supposed to kill you, in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, come on, give him crazy praise in this place. In the name of Jesus. The lion that was supposed to kill you, he will eat honey. Goliath will give you a testimony. I want you to say, my Goliath will give me a testimony. One more time. Hallelujah. The bigger your future, the bigger the Goliath hell will send you away. What you've been fighting is not because of what you've done. It's because of who you are. I like that. You know, when God starts to move on our behalf, the only language that God does understand, it's not Xhosa, it's not Zulu, it's not Afrikaans, it's not English, it's faith. God responds to the language of faith. And God, when we start to speak faith-filled words and start to pray bold prayers, that's when God starts to answer and He starts to move on your behalf. Somebody listening to me. I don't need to have huge amounts of people around me or big bank accounts. I just need faith. I need something that's stirred up on the inside of me, knowing what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I know what I've planned for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. If God has planted something in you, it's to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Don't let seasons corrupt the vision. Seasons are what it's called, a season. But when God has put His fingerprint on your life, nothing can stop that in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to hear me. Jesus came and He said, you do not know how to pray. He says, the reason why you don't receive is because you do not know how to pray. I always say this, that what you put an emphasis on is what rules and reign in your life. What you start off with, what you start off with in your prayer life is what you enthrone. I'm getting here now. When we start to, oh Lord, look at my problems, look at my situation, you enthrone your problem. You enthrone your situation. Oh Lord, the sickness, you enthrone the sickness. Jesus said, I'm going to teach you what to say when you pray. And I want to teach people this. In order for us to give birth to what we are carrying, the only thing that will release or bring forth the labor pains is prayer. Prayer brings on the labor pains. But there's one thing that brings forth the pains, and that's praying. When we pray, we're going to see a release of the glory of God like we've never seen before. What you carry on the inside of you will be released when you open your mouth and start to pray. Bold prayers, come on. Bold prayers, fiery prayers, faithful prayers. And then you'll suddenly, what you've been dreaming about, you start to live it. You'll start to see it. Come on, when you start to pray, all of hell will tremble, because when you pray effectively, you pray powerfully, and whenever you start to pray, you give birth to what God has placed on the inside of you. I'm not speaking to your drama, I'm speaking to your destiny. Rise up, take up your mat, and pray. Jesus said, when you pray, you have to start to pray in this manner. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you know why Jesus started off by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name? Because the word hallowed means that you are holy. Out of reverence, I come before you. There's no one like you. I adore you. That's what you enthrone. I don't know about your God. If your God is my God, He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than disease. He's bigger than problems. Come on. My God is bigger than anything, any mountain that can or cannot be seen. Come on. He's bigger than storms. He's bigger than any effect on your life. Do you agree with me? Is your God bigger than anything? I said, is your God bigger than anything? Then we enthrone Him. We start off by enthroning Him. When you enthrone Him, I want to teach you something. When you approach the bench, all of your flesh will feel insecure, not good enough, I'm speaking to the real people. Wave at me. Oh Lord, I became angry. How can I approach your bench? That's what the flesh does. That's what condemnation does. Condemnation wants to keep you out from the throne. But what happens when we start to enthrone God? My eyes are turned away from my lack. And my eyes are pointed to Him. When we start to pray in the Spirit and we start to pray, do you know what the Bible declares? He says it's like a sweet smelling aroma when we people start to praise and worship God. Do you know, worship is not just singing songs. Worship is adoring. You are holy. There's no one like you. You are right out of reverence. It becomes a sweet smelling aroma. Have you ever smelled? When you bride, there's nothing. You smell like wood. When your neighbor's bride, yeah, you want to get over that wall. Hey, gooi me with the flatty, papa. It's just a different aroma. And that aroma gets you hungry. Gets you hungry. Phew. Do you know what God does? When we worship and pray, He's like, wow. I'm hungry. Hungry for what? Hungry to bless. Hungry to touch. Hungry to show. Hungry to reveal. A pregnant woman, have you noticed, is always hungry? I'm speaking to pregnant people this morning. Pregnant in the spirit. You're always hungry for more. There's a craving that you have. And it's not for snook and... It's not for snook and jelly babies now. There's a craving that you have, and nothing in this world can satisfy it. There's more in you. Come on, I'm speaking to the hungry pregnant people. That you're hungry for more. And the only thing that will release that and will satisfy that soul is when people start to pray out of reverence with boldness and see the effect. So when you start to worship God in adoration, we adore Him. I'm teaching you something. If I look at people's faces and worship God according to what I see, you will never get a good worship. You know, people respond to revelation differently. When you get a revelation, some people receive it immediately. Some people's faces is like, what did he just say? Somebody else is like still yawning 2 minutes after. What did he just... It's a different strokes for different folks. Amen? Whoa. But there's something that happens that when you worship Him out of what He is to you. So Jesus said, when you approach that bench, you approach the Father and you approach it by making Him big, establishing a throne for Him to dwell in. God dwells among the praises of His people. God does not dwell among the complaints of His people. God does not dwell among the complacency of His people. God does not dwell among the familiarity of His people. God dwells among the praises of His people. How do I attract? Let me tell you something. What's going to birth it? Prayer. Bold praise is going to birth that. So we approach the bench with boldness. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that when we approach the throne of God, we should approach it with boldness. Not timidly, boldly. Boldly. Boldly means you know who you are. Stop, get rid of that stepchild mentality. When you step into the presence of God, you belong to Him, sir. You belong to Him, ma'am. Your praise matters. The Bible says that those who believe that He is shall receive a reward. Just by believing that God is. He is able to hear me. The Bible even goes on. He says, even if we believe that He heard us, He will give us the petition of our prayers. I'm teaching you something. Because I see people this morning, not tomorrow. It's not going to happen next Sunday. It's going to happen this morning. You're going to give birth in the Spirit. And I'm teaching you to bring up the pains. Jy gaan nie kaster olie drink nie, broer. You're going to press in with boldness. And God's going to answer you. Are you listening to me? I'm sick and tired that Satan comes in and destroy your family, destroy your finances, destroy your joy. Come on, destroy your business, destroy your dreams and your visions. There's something that God has given the church, and that's our prayer life. When we start to pray, listen, I'm thinking about the dream that I had, what I spoke to you about. Why do I have dreams like that? Why is it the reality so much? Because of what I carry. It's because of what I carry. You go through what you go through because of what you carry. But you've got something that hell does not have. You have the name of Jesus. You have the authority. Whoa, come on. You've got the backing of all of heaven. You've got the power. So Jesus said, don't start off with your problems. Don't start off with people. Don't even, in actual fact, don't even start praying for people. The first thing I want you to do is make my Father big. Glorify Him. You know, when you glorify the Father, this is what I've been taught in Scripture. I cannot approach the Father without Jesus. Jesus is the one pulling me to the Father. But I cannot make Him big without the Holy Spirit bringing revelation to me how big He is. So it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the constant holiness, how beautiful and how marvelous He is. When you do that, this is why worship should not just be bang, bang, bang. Worship should be waiting on Him until it becomes a sweet-smelling aroma. I like to use this testimony, but I want to use this again. In the realm of glory, you don't have to work. You receive. In the realm of glory, you don't have to beg. People's got this biggest mentality when they approach the bench. Come on, stand up, take your mat. People have this biggest mentality, oh God, you know, if you want to, instead of knowing who you are, when you make God big, you create a throne. What happens? The presence of God is being established. Amen? Didn't you know what I do then? Then I walk into His promises, which is yes and amen. I'm not stepping into something that can be. I'm going to say this again. When the presence of God starts to flow, the glory of God takes over. I'm not stepping into what can be. I'm stepping into yes and amen. You speak words out of faith, faith-filled words in the name of Jesus. I declare this right now, that you and your family shall experience a release of a prayer life. The spirit of prayer will start to touch your life, touch your mouth, that there will be a hunger. Come on, you pregnant people, you'll have a craving to pray. You'll have a craving to spend time in the courts of glory. There will be a craving that will burst up on the inside of you to experience God in greater dimensions than ever before in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus, I declare this breakthrough coming to your house. I declare everything that kept you back in the name of Jesus, everything that paralyzed your dreams, everything that paralyzed your vision, everything that paralyzed your body in the name of Jesus, I break it off your life right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, stand up, take your mat, and go in the name of Jesus.